poets make angelic flights through the windows of our imagination. Musicians with skilled precision reach into the depths of our being and stir passions and emotions that escape utterance. But can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Because Jesus can take all of the disconnected aspects of reality and weave them into an harmonious whole. For you see, church, I was sinking deep in sin. Can you say amen to that? Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. And I can say glory, hallelujah. Now safe am I. If anybody got a reason to sing, we do. Oh, yes, we do. If anybody got a reason to shout, we do. Oh, yes, we do. If anybody has a reason to pray, we do. Oh, yes, we do. We're glad you're here today. We're certainly good to see some Maymay back from her vacation. And Adrian, it's good to have you today. And I want to welcome all of our guests today. I want you to know that you are indeed our special guest today. And we're certainly happy to see Brother Wyatt's beautiful granddaughters in the back visiting today. And it's just a delight to have you today. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read one verse, 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read verse 18, 2 Peter 3, and verse number 18. If you have that, say amen. And this sacred text reads, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever." Amen. The church say amen. Using this text, I want to share a message entitled, and I want you to listen very carefully to this subject. And this subject is, how can you grow if? How can you grow if? And I'm going to talk about that if in just a moment. But let me tell you what the word grow means. It means to become larger by natural development. It means to increase. It means to become greater. It means to increase, and especially gradually. Growth is a positive term as we use it today. And all of us are either growing spiritually or we are deteriorating spiritually. Nobody stands still when it comes down to our spiritual lives. We are either stagnating or we are making progress. Amen. And the text says that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is, if you're saved, Jesus Christ is both your Lord and Savior. But he can't be your Savior if he's not your Lord. And the way he is our Lord is because we are obedient to him. When we submit to his lordship, it means that we are obedient to Jesus Christ. I hear him saying in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So in order to submit to the lordship of Jesus, I must obey him. And when I obey him, then he is both my Lord and my Savior. And Peter says in this text, he says, keep on growing, keep on increasing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because either we are growing or we are decaying, or we are stagnating, or we are falling back. Now, of course, the subject is, how can you grow if? And I know in your mind, being very inquisitive as you are, you're asking, if what? Well, I want to talk about three things we have to do today if we are going to grow. How can you grow if you don't do these three things? And of course, everybody is either growing, we're getting better, or we're getting worse. Les Brown put it this way. He said, you get better or you get beaten. Is that all right? And that's true in life. You get better at life, or life beats you up, or life beats you down. So you have to get better or you get beaten. And of course, one of the most significant and important arenas of our lives in getting better is our spiritual lives. And of course, that's not going to just happen. You're not just going to grow inevitably. You see, growth doesn't come to the church riding on the songs we sing. We can sing these songs, but growth doesn't come riding on the songs. Growth doesn't come to the church on the wings of inevitability, but growth comes because of the personal application of my personal powers. Growth is a choice, but there are some things I have to do in order to facilitate the growth process. Now, of course, there are three things. How can you grow? If, number one, you don't learn something new. That's the first point. How can you grow if you don't learn something new about Jesus? Because the text says we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When it comes down to Jesus, we are to be ready students. When it comes down to Jesus, we should be like empty pitchers standing before a full fountain. When it comes down to Jesus Christ, we must be ready scribes and ready students to learn something about Jesus, something more about Jesus. Because if we don't learn something new, how can you grow if you don't learn something new? God is a great teacher. And God will teach you if you allow him to teach you. Amen. And God says, I will teach you of my ways. And I would encourage you to walk in my paths. Is that correct? God has given to this world a profound gift called wisdom. And wisdom is a great, you know, the more I live, the more the more I recognize how much I need wisdom and understanding. That wise man was shown up on point when he said, of all you're getting, you get yourself some understanding. Is that right? And that's in any arena of life. Of all you're getting, make sure you get understanding. And I need understanding about Jesus. Because when I'm seeking wisdom, I'm wise. When I make an emotional investment in trying to acquire wisdom, that makes me wise. The Bible is a book. And you know, with most books, you got to read them for them to help you. Is that all right? I mean, you could have a library full of books, but if you don't read them, if you don't study them, they don't help you. Oh, certainly, I encourage you to go out and buy a Bible. I'd recommend if you're going to buy a Bible, get the King James Version or the New King James Version. The New International Version is a good version to have. And even the American Standard Version. If you don't write these down, I'll tell you again. Amen. The King James Version, the New King James Version, the New International Version, and the American Standard Version, the 1901 translation or rendering. These are good Bibles to have. But they won't help you if you don't read them. They won't help you if you don't study them. How can you grow if you don't learn something new about Jesus? Amen. It's all about Jesus, is that correct? And all of us need to learn something new about Jesus. And when I learn about Jesus, I'm reminded of the hymn that said, "Tell me the story of Jesus." Is that all right? Write on my heart every line. Tell me the story most precious. Do you feel that way? Sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcome his birth. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Tell me the story of Jesus. Because how can I grow if I don't learn something new about my Savior, about my Lord? When I study him, I learned that he was rejected in crucifixion. He looked like a loser that Friday when they killed him on that cross. But oh, Sunday morning. Something about Sunday morning, ain't it, Sparks? Something about Sunday morning. But in resurrection, he was vindicated. And then, of course, a lot of people are struggling, trying to figure out who he is. Jesus Christ made some unique claims about himself and about his unique relationship with God. He made some awesome claims. Now, either Jesus, as Josh McDowell talks about in his book, Evidences That Demand a Verdict, he talks about there are three possibilities for Jesus. And all three start with an L. Jesus Christ, based upon the claim that he made, is either a lunatic, crazy man, or a liar, a deceiving man, or he is Lord. Amen. I know he's not a lunatic. I know he's not a liar, but he is my Lord. Hallelujah. And my Savior. Is that all right? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." What an awesome claim. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." What an awesome claim. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What an awesome claim. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." What an awesome claim. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." What an awesome claim. Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." What an awesome claim. And the more I learn about this awesome man, it makes my life better. The more I learn about him, I learn he's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. He's a mind regulator and a heart fixer. Is that all right? And the more I learn about this man, how can I grow if year after year I remain stagnant in my learning about Jesus? He said, come unto me, all you that labor. And all of us have issues. All of us got concerns. All of us got challenges. Well, Jesus invites us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's burdened down with problems. Where you can't sleep at night. Where you can't find peace of mind and peace of soul. Jesus says, if you come to me, I'll help you. Jesus said, I got something for you. And Jesus says, I will give you rest unto you. So isn't it sad that even people in the kingdom of God know more about current events than they know about Jesus? Is that all right? People know about iPads and iPhones and know little about Jesus. Is that all right? They are cyber savvy. Amen. But biblically, in a sense, illiterate. But Jesus says, grow. Keep on growing in your knowledge. Keep on growing in your understanding of Jesus. Amen. And it's not a, because either you are learning more or you're stagnating. And see, nobody stands still spiritually. Either you're going backwards or you're going forward. You know, some people spiritually, I like that. You ever seen that hamster in that wheel? And man, that hamster get to running like the Flintstone. And man, he'll cool the whole house off. But when he gets through, Brother Milton, he's still right there where he was. He's just spinning the wheel. Is that correct? And spiritually, we can't afford, Lord have mercy, to spend our life is serious. And I need some serious help in life, and Jesus provide that help that I need. Here's the second thing you got to do if you're going to grow. Number two, you've got to do something different. You've got to, if you're going to grow, you got to do something different. Maybe if you weren't coming to Bible class, you started coming. Let me go ahead and look out the window. Amen? Maybe if you were not reading your Bible, you started reading it. Or maybe in your transit time when you are traveling, because we do spend quite a bit of time in our cars, don't we? Maybe instead of listening to Tom Joyner morning show, I could slip in a Bible tape and start listening to the word. You see, you've got to do something different if you're going to grow. You see, you can't keep doing insanity. The definition, one of the best definitions I've heard for insanity is to do keep doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. You know, I often hear people say, and certainly we encourage people to say, people stand up in the church and say, brothers and sisters, I want to grow stronger. Well, if you're going to grow stronger, you're going to have to learn something new. If you're going to grow stronger, you're going to have to do something different. You can't keep following the same path that you were on. Is that right? Because the devil's job is to just keep me insane. He wants to keep me on the road to frustration and defeat. He wants to, as the song say, I think it was the Friends of Distinction, you got me going in circles. Remember that old song? Man, I used to like that song. You know, I like the beat anyway, I put it that way. But it said, you got me going in. And the devil will have us going in circles. So if I want to grow spiritually, then I've got to do something different from what I'm doing. Because if I keep doing the same thing spiritually, I'm going to keep getting the same results. Amen? Now, watch this. Self-examination is a powerful and useful tool in assessing whether I'm growing or not. How do you know whether you're getting better? Amen. If you've been sick, you know whether you're getting better. And you know whether you're getting worse. You got ways of knowing that. Is that correct? Spiritual self-examination let me know where I am. Is that right? You find yourself becoming increasingly negative. Something wrong with your spiritual life. I found myself in a situation with my wife. Where's your faith at? She had to snap me back to reality. Where's your faith at? Is that correct? So self-examination helps me to know, because otherwise I'll just be sitting in the church, years will be passing, and I'm not getting any better. And like I told the folks in the hospital last week, it's unfortunate that people are getting better at the wrong thing. They're getting better at lying. They're getting better at backstabbing. They're getting better at manipulation. They're getting better at seduction. Some people are better off economically, but worse off spiritually. You're making more money. You got more money than you ever had in your life, but you're spiritually almost bankrupt. Is that all right? Your bonds can be filled, but you can be in poverty spiritually. And the only way you're going to know, you got to examine yourself to see where you are. So he said, examine yourself. Now, let's go to Hebrews 5. Let me show you what people didn't grow spiritually. Brother Trey Foster read it so well today. I thank him for that excellent reading. But Hebrews 5, 12, Brother Damien says, well, watch this.
For the time we ought to be teachers. You have need that one teach you again. Which be the first principles. Of the oracles of God.
Now, obviously, brothers and sisters, these Christians had not grown. At some point, you ought to be able to teach somebody. You got to grow where you can teach somebody. You ought to grow where you can be a light to somebody. Is that correct? The time had passed, but they had made no positive movement. Read.
And you are become such as have need of milk.
See, you're not standing still. You're regressing. Instead of receiving advanced spiritual doctrine, you are in need of spiritual milk. You're dealing with issues in your life that should have been settled years ago. I mean, if you are a Christian, every Sunday you shouldn't be debating whether you're going to church or not. I wish I had some help here. That ought to have been settled. When you get married, you ain't got to figure out, well, I don't know whether I'm going to go home or not. You get married, you ought to already know whether you're going home. Can I take it a little deeper? And when you get married, when you get paid off, you ought to know where your money going. Oh, I wish I had some help here. You shouldn't have to be debating every week. Well, should I take my check home? That should be settled. Some things in my life, Lord have mercy, they ought to already be settled. One thing is settled in my life. I know this. I ain't quitting the church. That's settled. I ain't quitting the church. Y'all might put me out of here, but I ain't quitting the church. Is that all right? I'm going to stay with the Lord to the day I die. That's settled. I ain't got to be debating about that. And folks can do what they want to. I hope they will do what's right. But you can do what you want to. But I got, what did Joshua say? Joshua said, man, that's settled. He said, now y'all around here trying to figure out who you're going to serve. Now, as a Christian, I ought to have done figured out that I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. Is that all right? I'm going to stay with the Lord. And I want to learn more and more about him. He said, now you choose you this day who you going to serve. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You see, I figured that out. When for the time you ought to be teachers. Come on, let's do this quickly.
You have need that one teach you again.
You have need that one teach you again. What?
The oracles of God.
The first principle of the oracles of God.
And are become such as.
And you are become. Look at what's happening to you. What's happening to you spiritually? What are you becoming? What are you becoming? You're not stagnant. You're becoming something. Read.
Such as have need of.
You have need of milk.
And not of strong
meat. And not of strong meat. Strong doctrine. You see that? Now, let me ask a question. How do people become mature? How do people become stronger spiritually? How do folks become grown-up Christians? They got to learn something new. They got to do something different. If you ain't been coming to Sunday night, you come to Sunday night. You got to do something different. Hadn't been coming to Wednesday night Bible study. You coming because you're trying to learn something new. You can't be satisfied. You know, that's the thing in most professions, the ongoing teaching and training. Accountants do it. Doctors do it. Dentists do it. Brother Wyatt does it. All type of professionals, preachers have to do it, because if you ever stop learning and preaching, you're going to become totally irrelevant. Is that right? Folks don't want you to come in here and preach old last year news to them. Tell them something new, preacher. Tell them something worthwhile. How do people become mature? Let's drop down to verse 14.
But strong meat belongeth to them
strong
that are full age.
Strong meat. You don't give a baby a steak, do you? If a baby cut her teeth, you just can't give her the whole steak. You got to cut it up. Well, she can digest it. Is that right? Now, I know some of y'all don't know nothing about this, but I'm gonna go back in today. Man, back in the day, grandma would chew the food and give it to the baby. I know y'all looking at me crazy. So, ooh, that's so nasty. But that baby sure ate it. That baby didn't say it was nasty, Cornell. That baby was licking her lips. You got to break it down. Is that all right? Well, the people can receive it. Oh, yeah. Baby didn't complain. Read it, Brother Hillary.
Even those who by reason
even
of use,
those. And the way you get stronger, you got to exercise yourself spiritually. You got to deal with good and evil. You got to handle temptation and stop letting temptation handle you. All of us are tempted. Huh? Yeah, all of us are tempted. And when you become stronger and more mature spiritually, you can smell the devil a mile away. You can smell him coming. And you can see him coming. Read, Brother Hillary.
Even those who by reason of use
have their senses exercised
to discern
means to make a distinction between things, to discern between good and evil. Here's a third and final thing. How are you going to grow? Number one, if you don't learn something new about Jesus, even in the educational curriculum, students move from one grade or one level to another. Is that right? But if a child moves from the fourth grade to the fifth grade, then in the fifth grade, that child learned something new in the fifth grade that they didn't learn in the fourth grade. Same thing in college. When you first attend college, your first year, you are a freshman. And they treat you like one. The second year, you are a sophomore. Third year, you are a junior. Is that correct? And the fourth year of an undergraduate degree, you are a senior. And each year, as you move to a new level, you learn something new. The same thing is true spiritually. How can I grow if I stay with the same level of knowledge about Jesus I had 10 years ago? And then I must do something different. If I want to improve my aerobic capacity. Amen. One thing my wife would tell me, she said, well, won't you park way down here and let's walk to the store? I said, no. Brother, I said, I'm looking for one where I can get out and walk right in the store. But, you know, she's trying to help me, though. Is that right? Because, Brother Hillary, the more I walk, the better that is for me. The more my Mike, Big Mac, fry, what is it, Brother Milner? Sesame seed bun.
Small beef patties.
On a sesame seed bun.
I can't remember.
Oh, somebody know it. Special sauce on sesame seed bun. Now, that's good, ain't it? But it tastes good. Some of y'all like Whoppers. I don't know. But here's reality. But listen. If I want to help my health some kind of way, I got to figure out how to get more fruits and vegetables in my body. Whether that's through juicing, smoothies, salads, preach moss, or whatever it is, if I want to be healthy. Huh? The American Cancer Society are telling us now that in fruits and vegetables are what's called phytonutrients, antioxidants. And cancer can't handle phytonutrients and antioxidants, but they love sugar, fat, and salt. Preach, Moss. So if I want to improve myself, amen, I got to do something different. Here's the final thing, y'all. This is a big one. It's really, I want you to really listen to this one. Here's a big one. How can I grow if I do not turn negative experiences into positive capital? Let me say it again. The first one was, how can I grow if I don't learn something new? How can I grow if I don't do something different? Third thing is, how can I grow if I don't change negative experiences into positive capital? Now, what is capital? Capital is money or property that increases wealth. Capital can be money and it can be property. It's something you get to increase your wealth. Capital also can be an advantage that you derive from or bring to a situation. For example, they talk about in the political arena, they talk about political capital. That Mr. Obama has political capital. And he is to use that in a wise, judicious way. Is that right? Now, here is one of the hardest lessons all of us have to learn in life. I have a hard time with it. I really do. And that is, how do you change something negative that happens to you, that hurts you, that frustrates you into some positive. Things I would rather not deal with. Things I would rather not go through. But I have no choice. I got to go through it. I'd rather not deal with it. But how do I turn that negative experience? And you may be having one right now in your life. I don't know. But if I'm ever going to grow, I got to learn how to turn the negative stuff I have to deal with and go through into positive capital, spiritual capital. Let's see what the Bible says about it. Let's go, brother, here with the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I think we'll have our answer. And we're going to wrap this lesson up. How can I grow? How can I grow? How can I grow? If. You have, brother Hillary?
I do.
Read it.
James, a servant of God.
Read.
And of the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right.
12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting.
All right, come on.
My brethren.
Count my brother,
joy
count, now here it is. Here it is. And as I said earlier, this is not an easy lesson to learn. But in life, there are some hard lessons. All lessons not easy. Sometimes the lesson that hurt us the most teach us the most. Hello? Because if you really get smacked by a situation, it really gets your attention. You be trying to figure out why in the world did this happen to me. You be trying to look at, well, what did I do wrong? What sin did I commit? Is God punishing me for what I'm not necessarily? God knows the benefit of negative experiences for all of his children. Let's see what it says. Read it, Brother Hillary.
Count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
When you fall into direction.
When you fall. You got the NIV? I'll tell you what, read that for it, then let's read it from the NIV. We'll try to get a little more clarity. What does it say? When you fall into what?
Divers temptations.
Divers temptations. Trials, temptations.
Knowing this.
No, now, you got to, in order to translate it into a positive situation, you've got to know some things. First of all, know you are a child of God. Don't doubt that. You are a child of God. The Lord loves you. Amen. And don't you think because you're having a rough time, let me tell you, just because you may be having a hard time finding a job doesn't mean you're not a child of God. And it doesn't mean you're not going to get a job. But God is trying to teach you how to turn negative into positive. Something happened you just wish you didn't have to deal with. But you have to deal with it. So either you deal with it or it deals with you. Read it, Brother Hillary.
Knowing this.
Knowing this.
That the trying of your faith.
The trying. Here it is. When I go through a negative experience or a challenging, first of all, it is testing, Lord have mercy, and challenging my faith. How many of y'all got a personal trainer? And a membership in Riviera's Fitness Club. You ever had a personal trainer? You know what a personal trainer does? Well, I had when he was a football coach. And we was trying out for the football team. And he said, well, if I don't kill you, you'll make it. And I felt like he was going to kill me. But I said one thing, I'm not going to quit. You might exhaust me. Yvonne, the first day we worked out, the training was so intense. There was a side door. I saw 10 guys run out that door. And they didn't come back. But I said, you're going to have to kill me because I ain't quitting. And I remember Leela one Sunday, we were training. He had us crabbing down the floor. He said, crab, crab. The skin was tore off my hand. bleeding, but I kept crabbing because I wanted it. Lord, I wanted to be on that team, bro. Why? And finally he said, get up, sprint, sprint, sprint. I got up. I was gasping. But Spoiler, I kept running until finally I came to the end of my powers and I fell to the floor. And he said, Moss, that's enough. And I guess he just wanted to see how much I could take. And sometimes God lets you go through it just to see, Lord have mercy, how much you can take. But not only that, God says, I'm making you. Because you're going to come out of this better than you were. In fact, you're going to come out of it with more spiritual capital. Brother Hebrew, you still there? What does it say?
That the trying of your faith.
The trying of your faith.
Worketh patience.
It works patience. A lot of times folks stand up in the church and say, I want the Lord to give me more patience. You don't know what you're asking for. How are you going to get patience unless you go through something? You got to go through something to get some patience. Is that right? So be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. Is that correct? Read, Brother Hillary.
But let patience have her
but
perfect
let, but,
work.
But if you let patience work in your life, Lord have mercy. And that's, you know, a lot of people quit the church because, number one, they don't learn something new. Number two, they don't do anything different. And number three, they don't develop any spiritual capital. They don't let patience, in order to go to heaven, you got to let patience do her work in your life. Read, Brother Hillary.
That ye may be perfect and entire.
That you may be complete or perfect and entire.
Wanting nothing.
Wanting, Lord have mercy. Lacking, now quickly the NIV. We're going to wrap it up. Lacking nothing. James 1, just start at verse 2. James 1, 2 to 4, what does it say?
Consider it pure joy.
Consider it pure joy.
Whenever you face trials.
Now, brothers and sisters, I know it ain't easy, but at some point we can get there. I know it's tough. Let's be real. It's tough to consider it joy when you're going through something negative and it's challenging you. Is that right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Because you know that the testing of your faith.
And because you know your knowledge. What? Read about
Hillary. Testing of your faith.
The testing of your faith.
Develops perseverance.
Develops perseverance.
Perseverance must finish.
How many need perseverance today? How many need perseverance today? How many need perseverance today? Well, the way you're going to get it, God got to let you go through it. But if God can take you through it, God can take you through it. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Read, Brother Hillary.
Perseverance must finish its work.
Perseverance or patience must finish its work.
So that
be patient with me. The Lord ain't through with me yet. Is that all right? Read.
So that you may be mature.
So that you may be
mature and complete.
How you gonna grow? I gotta send you some trials and tribulations. I gotta give you some more information. I got to give you some more temptation. And when you come through it, you're going to grow as a Christian. You're going to be more valuable to the church and to the world because you are a better, more improved model of yourself. And all of us are under construction. Everybody here, your life is under construction. Is that right? And if God be for you, I'm closing now. Who can be against you? Amen? So the question is, how can you grow if you don't do something, if you don't learn something new? How can you grow if you don't do something different? How can you grow if you don't turn negative experience into spiritual capital? And the answer is you can't do it. Amen. But if you do these things, you can grow in the grace and you can keep on growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that all right? So I'm reminded today of Brother Spelling of Paul's doxology in Romans chapter 11. He said, all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who have known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? He said, for of him, hallelujah, and to him, and through him are all things. Is that all right? God, he's my shepherd. He's my bridge over troubled waters. Is that all right? And somebody ought to say, let the Spirit of the Lord rise among us. Is that all right? Somebody ought to say, let the grace of the Lord rise among us. Somebody ought to say, let the knowledge of the Lord rise among us. Is that all right? And if we let that happen, we'll know. I'll say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Is that all right? The Lord, he's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is that all right? I need somebody to say, I need more knowledge. I want to know the Lord better. Is that all right? And when I know the Lord better, I become a better person. Is that all right? Somebody need to say, I need more grace in my life. Is that all right? But your grace and your mercy, it brought me through. Is that all right? I'm living this moment because of you, Spoken. And I want to thank you, Lord, and praise you too, because your grace and your mercy, it brought me through. Is that all right? Somebody ought to say, it was grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace don't leave me on. Is that all right? Oh, somebody ought to say, my grace is sufficient for you. But in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. Is that all right? Oh, ain't God all right? Oh, ain't God all right? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So keep on growing in grace and knowledge. And let me tell you, you're going somewhere. You're bound for the promised land. Is that all right? Yes, you're going to Emmanuel's land. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. And I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road was going to be easy. Can anybody say this morning the road ain't been easy? But the Lord didn't bring me this far. And oh, ain't that good news to know he'll be with you through the thick and the thin. Is that all right? Have you ever had any farewell friends? Sometimes with you when the money is there. But when the money run out, they begin singing Bobby Womack song. Nobody wants you when you're down and out. That's the message. Just want to stand on your feet. I hope you've been blessed today. And if you'll take these three things, I think you can just take your life to the next level. How many want to grow this morning? 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 If you want to grow, you got to learn something new. If you want to grow, you got to do something different. If you want to grow, you got to turn your negative experiences, your stressful moments, into spiritual capital. Amen. So instead of your stomach getting in a knot, just start singing, I really love the Lord. Start singing, I'm glad I know you. Is that all right? Start singing those songs because God didn't bring you this far to leave you. So we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. Anybody need to be saved today? If you want to get saved, you got to find and get off the road that's leading to hell and get on the road leading to salvation. You can't stay on that road. And you got to make that happen. It ain't going to just happen. Is that right? At some point, you got to accept Jesus as your Savior. You just can't keep thinking about it. You got to do something about it. You see a good-looking girl, you say, man, I sure like to talk to her. But all you do is think about it. All you do is think about it. Then here come Mr. Smooth Talker, come talk to her, and she gone down the road with Jody. Ain't no sense in going home. Jody got your girl and gone. Is that all right? Amen. So you got that. You got to stop thinking about it, and you got to do something about it. And if you want to become a better Christian, you can't keep doing the same thing you're doing if you want your life to improve. You got to learn something new, amen? You got to do something differently. And you got to take those negative things that happened to you and change them to something positive, spiritual. And when you do, amen, you can say, I've heard the gospel, I believe it, I repent of my sins, I confess Jesus as my Lord, and I want to be immersed or baptized in water for the remission of my sins. And I'm a child of God, and I want my life to get better. It can get better. It starts with you. It starts with a decision. Amen. And when you do, you can say, I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what. Wanna thank you, Jesus gave. I love Him. I really love the. You don't know what. Wanna thank you, Jesus gave. I love him, I really love the. Well, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to pray the. You don't know what. Wanna thank you, Jesus gave. I love him.